Almost every one of us here this morning at one time or another has received an invitation to attend a specific event. You children, you've each one, I'm sure, received an invitation from a friend or from a classmate to attend their birthday party. You maybe received an envelope in the mail and had your name on the front, and you opened it up, and inside there was a card, and it said, "Would you please come to my birthday party?" And it tells you when that party will be held. And so what do? You look forward to the day when you will go and celebrate that birthday. And the same holds true for each of us as adults. We've received some invitations to some specific events, and we look forward to attending those events because we've been set aside, set apart, called out by this invitation. Now, let me give you a little bit different twist to that scenario. Someone who's important, someone that you like to have as your friend and hope that they think you are their friend, is going to have a party. And you know that that person is going to invite people that he or she wants to have at that party so they can celebrate together. You wait each day as the mailman comes. Will I receive an invitation to that person's party? Psalm 122 is a psalm about being invited to a special party. So let's turn our attention to Psalm 122. If you're using the Bible there in the pew, you'll find that psalm on page 966. Psalm 122. Let's hear the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us from these nine verses of Psalm 122. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up. The tribes of the Lord to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper. May there be peace within your walls and prosperity within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Let's look to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we come to this psalm, and again we ask that your Spirit would move among us and within each of us in a powerful way. That once again, a psalm that is familiar to so many of us would be given fresh and new relevance in our lives, that we may be encouraged as the people of God to gather Lord's Day after Lord's Day, rejoicingly, to the praise and the glory of your name, so that we might go forth in the sure salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of the psalm reads a song of ascents of David. This is the first of four psalms within this cluster of 15 psalms bearing the title A Song of Ascents, which is attributed to David. We know that those who arranged these 15 psalms as they have did so that as the people of God were called to those three annual feasts there in Jerusalem, they would have these songs to sing, especially the men, for it's there in Deuteronomy 16:16 and other places that the men of God are called by the Lord to make these annual pilgrimages to Jerusalem. This psalm, because it's attributed to David, and because this psalm is a psalm in which the psalmist speaks about gathering rejoicingly, it certainly must hearken back to that moment in history when David, as recorded in 1 Samuel 6, danced before the Lord because his heart was overflowing with joy that though the Lord had built David his house in Jerusalem, not allowing David to build the Lord's house there, nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant was brought to Jerusalem and set in that tent on Zion that David had placed there, thus showing that the Lord was coming to tabernacle in the midst of his people. And so David danced for joy. So it seems fitting that the title of the sermon would be Gather Rejoicingly. Gather rejoicingly. Just as David danced rejoicingly as the ark entered into Jerusalem. And so as the people of God, we are to gather rejoicingly each Lord's Day, so that we may go forth in the joy of the Lord's sure salvation. So we want to see how this is the case in this psalm, which begins and ends with a reference to the house of the Lord. And in the middle, there's a reference to the house of David. And three times then within this psalm, we find reference to Jerusalem. So we want to notice, first of all, the psalmist rejoiced in Jerusalem. And then we want to notice how the psalmist exalted in Jerusalem. And then finally, we want to notice how the psalmist prayed for Jerusalem. First then, rejoiced in Jerusalem. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. And I would submit that there are three reasons the Old Testament saints rejoiced in Jerusalem. The first reason is simply this, because they were invited to Jerusalem. I rejoice with those who said to me, just as we who want to be invited to someone's party, because we revere them and we want to be understood as their friend and their companion, and we wait to see if an invitation will come to us. Here in this psalm, the psalmist rejoices in Jerusalem because he has been invited to Jerusalem. Luke gives us an account of Jesus' early life. And in that account, Luke records for us how when Jesus was 12 years old, his parents took him to Jerusalem. And it was the custom of the people of God under the old administration of the covenant of grace to give their 13-year-old sons over to maturity. They were seen to be sons of the law when they turned 13. And so often in preparation for that 13th birthday, the parents would take their sons when they were 12 to Jerusalem for one of these feasts so that the son would begin to appreciate what it meant to live under the law, particularly the ceremonial law, because it was that law, you remember, that reminded the child of God how they had right standing with their Maker and their Sustainer, who is their Redeemer. Now, children, aren't you thankful that you don't have to wait until you're 12 years old to be brought by your parents to the worship of God each Lord's Day? As covenant children of God, you should be thankful that each Lord's Day morning, your parents come and say, "It's time to get up. We're going to the house of the Lord to worship Him." Right, children? I certainly hope so. But it's only right when, as parents, we look forward to the weekly Lord's Day and the ingathering of the saints by invitation of the triune God. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you prosperity. I will give you what is good." I was glad when they said unto me, "Let's go to the house of the Lord, gather rejoicingly, because we're invited to Jerusalem." The second reason that they rejoiced in Jerusalem is simply because they made it to Jerusalem. They made it to Jerusalem. These pilgrims have come from a distance. And you'll remember from Psalm 120, the first psalm that they would sing as they embark. They recognize that they're living among people with lying lips. And it may be a reference to the fact that they themselves have on occasion lied. And they need to be reminded that I have to go back to the house of the Lord where we celebrate the Passover, among other things. The redemption that we have by the sovereign grace of God that brings us out of bondage so that we no longer have lips that are given to lying. But the implication is that they're sick and tired of people who are lying around them. And not only that, but there are people who live beside them who they hate peace. They like controversy. They like turmoil. They like to disrupt things. the psalmist has left that setting and he's made it to Jerusalem. And more than that, the psalmist has made it safely to Jerusalem. The psalmist has passed those hills wherein the wild animals are and where the robbers hide. Or to bring it into our present day situation, we make it here without an accident in our car or having to change a flat tire. I was in a meeting yesterday. It was to start at 8:30. And one of the committee members was late. And when she arrived, her face was a bit ashamed. She was in a hurry. She was in a hurry on a road that the police officer decided to set up the radar gun. We've made it to Jerusalem. And we've made it safely. And so we come rejoicing. But the most important reason for the people of God to rejoice in Jerusalem is the third reason that we find in our text. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Yahweh's house is in Jerusalem. And the people of God gathered there. God was in their midst. He had come down and tabernacled with them. When we come here each Lord's Day, morning and evening, what happens? We don't come here because this is an earthly representation of Jerusalem. We come here because when we are united to Jesus Christ by grace through faith, we enter in, if you please, to the heavenly Jerusalem, that place that we yearn to be for all eternity. As Tim already mentioned with respect to Psalm 84. It's not so much that we gather within these four walls and sit on these pews that makes this a sanctuary. It's that we come here and by being here we draw into the very presence of our God. And so we're at the throne of His grace. And He has invited us here in Jesus Christ. And so each one of us who names Jesus as our Lord and Savior comes here Lord's Day after Lord's Day to enter into the presence of Almighty God. And the more of us there are here, the more we rejoice. Because it helps us to appreciate all the better what it's going to be like when Jesus returns and the heavenly Jerusalem comes down to the new heavens and the new earth, and we're there for eternity with all of God's people rejoicing in the sure salvation that we know now is ours. You see why the psalmist rejoiced to hear them say, "Let's go to the Lord's house." They've been invited. They've made it. They're in the presence of God. Now what happens in Jerusalem? Why we exalt over Jerusalem. And again, there are three reasons why we exalted, the psalmist exalted
the people of God exalted over Jerusalem. And the first reason is their security in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. The images of a city which is fortified with walls and towers and had limited amount of entrances, and each of those gates was well guarded. Jerusalem was a city that was built to keep the enemies out. So our gathering together is worthy of our exaltation, because we are not enemies of the living God, but we are His friends. And so we come and exalt over Jerusalem, because there is praise in Jerusalem. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord. Notice what happens when the men of the 12 tribes of Judah assemble at these three feasts. They praise the name of the Lord, because those who have arrived were invited. They come rejoicing, just like we would come to that party that we were hoping to be invited to by that special individual whom we honored and we wanted to be friends with and a companion with and to celebrate with. And to praise the name of someone is to praise that person for who that person is. The Feast of the Tabernacles, one of the three feasts that called them together, was the feast in which they praised the Lord for that final ingathering of the crops. It was their Thanksgiving Day feast. It was the indication that the Lord had indeed given them their daily bread, which they had learned to pray. Well, we know to pray that. And so we gather as those who recognize we have been well fed through those 6 days that are in between the Lord's Day when we gather. And they would praise His name because the crops that they brought in would sustain them until they would gather for the Feast of Weeks, when they would bring in those first fruits so that they could fill their pantries once again. But we notice a phrase in verse 4 with respect to this praise that they give. We find that they do this according to the statute given to Israel. Now, certainly the argument is to be made that they had gathered there in Jerusalem because God's statute said to do it. But I would submit there's more to it than that. I would submit that the very praise that they offered to the Lord there in Jerusalem was also in accord with His statutes. Now let's face it. Not a one of us here wants to be praised for something that we're not happy about. We want to be praised for those things that we think are praiseworthy about us. The Lord Himself has told us how He is pleased to be praised. And so I don't think it's too much of a stretch for us to perhaps even find in this psalm, which reminds us to how the psalmist exalted over Jerusalem, that he not only exalted over Jerusalem because there he found security, but there he found praise of the Lord according to the way the Lord delights to be praised. You understand? Let us go to the house of the Lord, for there the Lord will be praised in a way that brings Him delight. We don't praise Him according to the whims of our own hearts, but as He is pleased to be praised. And then finally, there's justice in Jerusalem, the Lord's house, and we'll see the Lord's house. But right there in the middle is the house of David. And what does the house of David represent? But it represents King David, the king whose what? Whose heart, the Lord says, was after the Lord's own heart. How is it that David's heart would truly be after the Lord's heart? Well, the Holy Spirit, you see, would work into David's life and practice that admonition that the Lord gave to Joshua as he took over the leadership of God's people following Moses' death. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Justice prevails, does it not? When those who sit on the bench adjudicate according to the book of the law, the outbreathing of God's character as it's set forth at least for us in those 10 words that we know as the 10 commandments, the moral law. And certainly we understand how frustrated we become when those in our courthouses don't adjudicate according to the Word of God. But when we come here to worship God and to enjoy the salvation that we have in Him, we can rest assured that the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone are the basis of the faith and the life that we expect of ourselves and of one another. And so our interaction within the confines of the people of God is certainly rooted in the Scriptures. And so we deal with one another on the basis of the revealed will of God with respect to the body life that His Son's bride is to manifest before a watching world. So you see, we find indeed security and praise and justice in Jerusalem. And then finally, the people of God are called to pray for Jerusalem. The human heart desires peace and prosperity. The human heart desires that which is good. And when the pilgrims come into Jerusalem, the city with the house of God, the city with the house of David, ought to find peace, ought to find prosperity, ought to find that which is good. And so basically, the prayer of the psalmist, the prayer of the people of God, first is that the city will live up to its name. That the city will live up to its name. Jerusalem, you remember, equals city of shalom. City of peace. But we all recognize that peace doesn't fill our lands and peace doesn't fill our hearts. Because with our first parents, we ate that forbidden fruit. And we were set at enmity with our Creator and our Sustainer. So that back there in the garden, God placed that cherubim and that flaming sword flashing back and forth according to Genesis 3:24. As a pointer to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Pointing to Jesus, who would come and bear the wrath of God that we deserve for our sins. So that the love of God might go forth into the world through the heralding of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit would work in the hearts and lives of those people for whom Jesus laid down His life so as to take that heart of stone out and give that heart of flesh so that when the seed is sown, the gospel is heralded, it would fall upon soil that would be receptive. So when people would come to Jerusalem, they would come in response to that invitation to come to the house of God, and they would respond rejoicingly because God had worked a work of grace in their lives and revealed to them that the enmity that they had with Him was lifted through Jesus. And so we rejoice to be here where peace is enjoyed in the Prince of Peace, through the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. But peace and prosperity and goodness are not something that we take for granted. And so as we gather praying for the peace and the prosperity and the goodness of God to be enjoyed in our gatherings. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May there be peace within your walls and prosperity within your citadels. We understand that when we sin, peace and prosperity are violated and goodness is disrupted. And so we come confessing sin as we enter, praying God's forgiveness and grace, praying that peace and prosperity will indeed be here. And that might mean, will it not, that we might have to go to someone within the assembly of the saints and make sure our accounts are kept fresh. For we're reminded, are we not, that if we come to the altar and we remember that somebody has something against us, what are we supposed to do? In order for peace and prosperity to be in the house of the Lord, we must go to that person and we must ask that person's forgiveness. That our city would live up to our name. That the peace that we enjoy through the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ will be maintained. And so we pray for the peace of our people. And then finally, lovers of God and God's house are the object of our prayers. Specifically, may those who love you prosper. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within your walls. For the sake of the house of our God, I will seek your good. When we gather, just as the tribes went up to Jerusalem, they recognized those with whom they were rubbing shoulders. And can you imagine how much shoulder rubbing was going on as the members of the 12 tribes came into Jerusalem? That they would look to this side and they would look to that side and they would say, lover of God, brother and friend, I trust things have gone well with you. I've been praying for your prosperity and well-being. In these intervening months, while we've been separated one from another, I've been praying for you and your love for God and your peace and your prosperity with Him and those around you. Do we have the other's best interest in our hearts? Of course we do. That's part of why we're here. We're here not only for the sake of our being in the presence of God individually, but we're here because we're part of a body. And when part of the body's not here, we're not as rejoicing as we otherwise would be, are we? Lovers of God and God's house, the object of our prayer. But Paul makes it a bit broader than that, doesn't he? In 1 Timothy 2:2, Paul reminds us to pray for those in authority. Yes, to pray for everyone in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. We're praying for the peace, the house of God, as we hold one another up for the throne of grace, that each one of us would gather rejoicingly Lord's Day after Lord's Day after Lord's Day, so that we would go forth showing the sure salvation that we enjoy in the Lord, of which we remind ourselves and each one of us every time we come to the worship of God. So we gather rejoicingly. We gather rejoicingly. because indeed it is in Jerusalem that we rejoice, that we find God's overwhelming security, praise, and indeed God's, what's the last one? Justice. So that we might delight in God's peace and God's prosperity and His goodness will be enjoyed by each and every one of us, both today and forever. Amen. Father in heaven, help us. Help us to be a people who Lord's Day after Lord's Day after Lord's Day, when we hear that invitation from you, to not forsake the assembling of the saints as is the custom of some, but encourage one another as we see the day approaching to love and to gather and to share that love that we have for you one with another, to be reminded of that great salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus. And then to be reminded of the love that we have one for another as our brothers, as our friends. And may that love that we show one for another be evident to a watching world, so that it will be clear that we are yours, you are ours, and indeed Jesus has come and is coming. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.